everyone. This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
If you haven't been with us, and if I haven't met you, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And today we are bringing to a close this conversation, leaving loneliness. And for the past few weeks, we've been looking at how God so powerfully steps into our life and says, listen, it is not good for you to be alone. You are not created to be alone. This isn't just something that's inconvenient. This isn't just, hey, you need to have a couple friends. No, you were not intended to experience loneliness, and God has been passionately and actively attacking this in our story from the very beginning. And hopefully, as we come to today, not only has your mindset shifted and what you know about what God says about loneliness, has that's changed, but then more importantly, hopefully you're beginning to put steps in place or take steps in your journey that are allowing you to begin to experience loneliness in a different way, to leave loneliness behind in maybe ways that you never have before. And whether that's developing the circles, if you missed the circles conversation, I highly encourage you to go back and watch that. It's available on the app or available online, but this is terminology we use all the time here at Hoboken Grace, this idea of circles, these relationships that are critical in your life if you're going to build healthy, lasting, powerful community. And hopefully you've begun taking steps in that. This is a never-ending journey. Just when I feel like I've built healthy circles in my life, someone moves or circumstances change and I have to rebuild and start over again in some ways. And some of you, that's where you are right now. You're like, man, at one point I had really healthy community and circles, but that kind of broke down. So now I have to rebuild that. Whatever it is in your life, hopefully you're taking those steps. Maybe for you, it's that you're finally being honest about the fact that God sees you and allowing yourself to stand before him and say, this is it. This is who I am. This is where I am. Or maybe you're beginning to do that with someone else in your life that you trust, and you're allowing them to be able to know you so that you can actually be known. Whatever it is, I hope at the end of this, you don't just know something different, but you're actually doing something different, that you're taking next steps, because, and we've said this from the beginning of Hoboken Grace, I don't think I've said it enough recently, so I'm going to say it a lot more. If what we're talking about on Sunday doesn't impact Monday, we are wasting our time. If it's not actually changing the way that we engage life, we're wasting our time. It would have been better for us if we just slept in. Because knowing something different doesn't change anything. And Jesus doesn't call us to just know about him. He calls us to follow him. And that's what we're about. We're about following him. And he stepped into our lives, and he said some pretty amazing things about loneliness. And we want to follow him out of that. Now, today, as we bring this to a close, I want to get really practical. Because, again, this is about applying what we've learn. And to do that, I want to take you to one final passage. It's a really interesting verse where Jesus says something that for many of you is going to shock you. Many of you have never heard this passage before, even if you've been in church for a long time. And I'm willing to bet that almost none of you have ever heard anyone teach on this passage because it's just strange. And from the moment you hear it, you're like, what in the world is he talking about? Now, to give you a little bit of context, Jesus is in the middle of this conversation, and he's talking about how we manage our resources. And he's talking about how God calls us to manage what it is that we've been given and to manage it well. And in the midst of that conversation, he says this, listen to this, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. He says, here's what I want you to do. We're talking about stewarding. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. What? Now listen to the context. Listen to how it continues in verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Now, some of you have heard this passage. This is a very famous idea that if you're trustworthy with what you've been given, you'll be given more. But if you're not, what you have will actually be taken from you. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Now, many of you have also heard this passage. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So the context, he's talking about resources. Specifically, he's talking about money. He's talking about what it is that we invest in. And in the middle of that, he says this. He says, I want for you to use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. What? Now, I'll have to be honest with you. I don't feel like you're responding the way that you should to that passage. In the first service, there was an individual who was sitting right here in the front, and he responded exactly the way that you should when you hear that passage. He looked at me and did this. Huh? What? What are you talking about? In the midst of this whole conversation about management of resources, Jesus says, here's how I want. As a matter of fact, no, since we're talking about resources, here's what I want for you to use those resources for. People. Now, the verse when we read it should shock us, but at the same time, as we've been walking through this series, what have we learned? Well, hopefully we've learned that this idea of community is way more important than we thought. And the priority that God gives to the development of community is way higher than we thought previously. And I'm willing to bet that many of you have never looked at Jesus giving his life and realized, okay, no, God thought the end of loneliness was worth Jesus giving his life. But hopefully you've begun to realize that. And when you begin to realize just how important it is to God, that you would be part of his family, and that we would be part of this family together, and that we would be reconnected to him, and that we would be reconnected with one another. Hopefully, when you begin to realize that, and the depth of that, the significance of that to God, it wouldn't shock you that Jesus steps on the scene and says, here's what I want you to invest in. And there's all sorts of different things that we invest in. And so some of us, we invest in stuff. We like stuff. Some of you are stuff people. Some of you are specifically technology stuff people. So you have every version of the iPhone that's ever come out. I'm there with you. I have like a little area of my office that features like all these old iPods. Like, I just love that stuff. I love technology. I love old technology. It's actually, some of them are becoming valuable now. But as you look at that, some of you are stuff people. You love to be able to buy stuff. Others of you, you're not really stuff people. You're more image people. So you have it together. Like, you always look sharp. Everywhere you go, you look sharp. You have a pair of shoes that matches every shirt that you own. Like, you're an image person. You put money into image, and that's what you invest in. And all of us spend money in these different things, but some of us, we spend more money on certain ones as opposed to others. For others of you, you're not a stuff person or an image person. You're an entertainment person. I had a conversation with someone a little while ago, and they were asking me about some show that's on a streaming service, and I was like, oh, I don't have that streaming service. And then they started talking to me about this other show that's on a different streaming service. I said, I don't have that streaming service. And they're like, what's wrong with you? And I said, actually, do you have all of the streaming services? And they said, no, I don't have all the streaming services. And so we started to work through the different streaming services, and then all of a sudden it dawned on them, oh my goodness, I have all of them. And so some of you, you invest in entertainment. That's what you invest in. It's not stuff or image, it's entertainment. For some of you, you invest in security. In other words, you don't spend your money, you just put it in a bank. And it makes you feel very safe and very secure. You invest in security. I'm not like you, but I've heard that you're out there. That's what you invest in. All of us invest in something. What is it for you? When you look at what it is that you spend your resources on, what is it that you invest in the most? Well, Jesus says, here's what I want for you to invest in. I want you to understand how important it is to be able to handle the resources that God's given you. And here's what I want for you to invest in. People. I want you to invest in people, in relationships, in building community. I want you to invest in people. So how do you do that? I mean, what does that practically look like in your life? To invest in community. And I know whenever we start talking about money in church, all of you are like, oh, he's going to talk about giving. I want to get really practical about how you use your resources in your life to live out that passage. Because if what we're talking about on Sunday doesn't impact how we live on Monday, we're wasting our time. So what does it actually look like for you to do that? The word that the scriptures uses to capture this is this word hospitality. It's all throughout scripture. And scripture champions hospitality over and over and over and over again. It's the idea of inviting people into your space. It's the idea of prioritizing the time that you get to spend with those around you. And Jesus says, I want for you to invest in this. The way that we would talk about it in our culture is this. You need to throw more parties. You need to invite people into community more often. And Jesus specifically says, as he's talking about resources, I want you to invest in this. Now, some of you, you're great at this. You're hospitality people, and you love throwing parties. My wife loves throwing parties. She's really good at throwing parties. Some of you, that's how you work. Listen, I want to champion you today. I want to celebrate that about you today. I want you to understand that God celebrates that about you. He's created you like that, and he believes that it's incredibly valuable. And I know that there are probably some times in your life and you say, I don't know if it's worth it. I remember I had a friend and he used to have these huge barbecues. He said, just do these barbecues all the time. And I used to look at it and say, man, the amount of money you spend on that, that's a lot of money. I don't know if that's a good investment. You know what Jesus says? It is. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, if you're going to spend money on something, spend money on that. Which for some of you, you're here and your spouse is a big party thrower, and you're like, no, they don't need to spend more money on that. No. Jesus says it's actually the thing you should spend money on. Invest in people. But you know what I've learned? There are all sorts of, in all of our lives, but even for those who thrive in hospitality, inside of our culture, there are these artificial barriers that we put up that keep us from being able to experience this together, and that keep us from being able to live this out really well in one another's lives. So for example, some of you like to be able to bring people together, but you have this artificial barrier where you will not invite people to your house if your house is not spotless. And even when I say that, you're like, whoa, wait. You want me to invite people over when my house isn't clean? And you're getting anxiety right now, and you're thinking, I may have to leave this service. I don't know if I can make it. And listen, it's an artificial barrier. And I've seen it play out time after time after time. And I'm right there with you. I'm obsessive compulsive. When I go to bed, I put my remotes in the same place. It's weird, right? I'm a neat freak kind of person. But here's the thing. That should not be a barrier to you calling your friends and asking them to hang out. And I've seen it happen multiple times. Where it's like, oh, we have time to hang out. Yeah, but we'd have to clean the house, and we'd have to do this, and we'd have to do this in order to be able to do that, and so we're not going to do it. It's an artificial barrier. You need to let go of it. Another artificial barrier is this idea that if you're going to have people over, you need to have an 8-course meal. and we got to do this big thing. And we got to, well, if we're going to have them over, then we got to order this. We got to do this. We got to make a salad. And we got to do all thing after thing. You're like, well, wait, can I share something with you? This is important. This is what you need to think about in those moments. When you have that time, you're like, I don't know if we can have more. Let me just share this. You may not know this. This may be a surprise to you. They eat pizza too. They do. They eat pizza too. They may eat gluten-free pizza, which will be more expensive for you, but invest. It's an artificial barrier. And you say, well, what do you do? This seems insignificant. No, it's actually very significant. And Jesus says, no, I want for you to invest in this. I want you to prioritize this. I want for you to consistently be coming together in this way and to make this a priority. But we have these artificial barriers. Another one, and this is specific. This is very much a Northeast artificial barrier, and that is this. We can't hang out if we didn't plan it a month ago. Some of you are like, well, no. We have to make plans. We have to make plans. Now, I come from the Midwest. I grew up on a farm in the Midwest, okay? On farms in the Midwest, you don't make plans. You just don't do that. That's not what you do. You just go to someone else's house and say hi. That's what you do. And it used to drive me crazy when I was a kid, to be honest with you, because I'm a doer. I like attacking the day, get stuff done, and I'm also an introvert, so I'm not naturally, like, great at conversation, which is weird with what I do. But I remember, you know, our neighbor would drive into the driveway, and I'd look at my uncle and be like, oh, my gosh, we're going to be here for an hour. And then he'd just show up, and they'd just sit and talk. And I was like, this is not productive. But I remember I moved to the Northeast, and I happened to be driving by my friend's place, and so I stopped by his house, and I just rang the doorbell. And you'd have thought the FBI showed up at his door. No lie. Like, he peeks out from behind the door. He's like, and this is exactly what he said to me. Do we have plans? I'm like, no, I just was driving by. I thought I'd say hi. But you didn't call. No, do I have to call? Yeah, you should call. And he didn't even open the door the whole way. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what, do you have a meth lab in there? What's going on? But then I learned, no, you have to have plans. Can't just stop by. Don't do that. It's an artificial barrier. And as a matter of fact, you need people in your life that have the freedom to do that, and that you have the freedom to do that with them. You remember when you were kids and you used to do that, and you had great community? You'd be able to say, hey, just walking home, hey, you want to grab a coffee, or hey, you want to grab a bite to eat? You want to go? You don't always have to invite them into your house. You say, well, that gets expensive if you do that. Yeah, invest in it. And Jesus says it's more valuable than the iPhone 13. And so maybe shift what it is that you invest in and increase the budget for going out. And I'm not talking about being financially irresponsible. You know that. But Jesus says, no, this is what you should really invest in, is bringing people together. It's community. This is how I want for you to use your resources. You need to throw more parties, bring people, make that a priority. Get rid of the artificial barriers that hold you back in that. We need to develop a community where at Saturday at 5 o'clock, you can just call someone up and say, hey, you want to come over? Let's grab pizza together. We're just going to hang out. That's healthy community. That's healthy community. And I know some of you are here and you're introverts and you say, I'm never going to do that. I'm not doing that. I'm not. I just want to challenge you a little bit. Listen, I used to be a massive introvert, and I remember being challenged on this in a really big way, because when I was in school, I loved studying, I loved reading, all that went into that, but I wasn't big on community. And I remember having a conversation with one of my mentors, and I remember we were walking together, And I was talking about, listen, I just don't think it's that important, and I don't really, and I just wasn't going to prioritize it. And he looked at me and he said, Chris, you do realize that Jesus thought people were worth dying for, right? Maybe you should think they're worth getting to know. And as an introvert, your circles are going to be smaller, but you are not good alone. You're not. And so, yeah, you don't have to develop this with everybody. Your circles are going to be smaller, but you need to develop it with somebody to be able to have that relationship where they can stop by and you can stop by, where it can be Sunday night and just say, hey, you want to hang out for a bit? You need to throw more parties. You need to invite yourself to more parties. I used to do this all the time when we first started Hoboken Grace. I'd go to any party. We were trying to build community. We were trying to bring this thing together. I went to every party I could. I'd invite myself to parties constantly. I'd be at a party and hear about another party, be like, hey, can I come to that party? You say, that's weird. It is at first, but you get used to it. You get used to it. Jesus says, no, I want for you to prioritize this. I want you to invest in this. Another way that this shows up is this. For many of you, when we talk about community, the first thing that you say is, I don't have time. It's not so much I don't have the resources. I don't have time. And I'll talk to people, I can't get into a group. I don't have time. Or I can't lead a group. I just don't have the time for that. I can't engage on an impact team. I don't have the time for that. And I remember talking with someone years ago, and he worked in an incredibly demanding job. He was very well off, but I mean, time-wise, he worked all the time. One of the longest working jobs I've ever experienced. And he's like, man, I don't know. And he was thinking about becoming a dinner group leader. He said, I don't think I could possibly do it. I just don't have enough time. And I looked at him and I said, then buy time. And he said, buy time? You can't buy time. I mean, Warren Buffett taught us that. Time is a limited resource. You can't buy time. It's the one thing you can't buy. I said, no, he lied to you. You absolutely can buy time. It's called the wash and fold. He said, what? I said, stop doing your laundry. Buy time. I said, how long do you do your laundry every week? He said, about an hour. I said, is that enough for you to be able to do what you need to do to be a group leader? He's like, it probably would be. I said, stop cleaning your house. Buy time. And it's interesting, I've had that conversation many, many times over the years. And one of the things sometimes people will say is, well, I mean, I don't have the money to be able to do that. And I look at them and say, do you have cable? Because it's probably cheaper than cable. And again, some of you are here saying, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't live without cable. That's not a thing. It happens. People do it, and they survive. And you know what the great thing is about getting rid of cable? Not only do you have more resources so you can buy time, but it also gives you a lot more time. And then as you're walking home, rather than saying, okay, I'm going to go sit down on my couch and watch a show, you invite someone over. Or you take someone out. What is it that you're investing in? Jesus says, since we're talking about resources, let me just share with you this. This is what's worth investing in. Again, as God steps into our lives as it pertains to this, one, he's said a lot more about it than most of us thought. And number two, it's way more important than we thought before. And so he says, I want you to invest in this. I want you to prioritize this. And let me talk about this in a little bit different way today as well. Because before we end this series, I want to speak to this, and prioritizing community in your life, and the fact that it's not good for you to be alone. One of the things that has been amazing for us here at Hoboken Grace is the lawn. Did you guys just celebrate the lawn and what we've been able to do there? And It has been incredible, and I've loved how over this past summer and even as we've gone into this fall, how our groups have been able to use that. And many of you are part of groups that meet on the lawn, and you've been able to experience that outdoors and connect in that way, a very unique way. But unfortunately, I think yesterday was our last day at the lawn. And so the lawn is coming to a close because of the fact that the people who own that lot are actually going to be building there, and so they're going to be breaking ground in just a couple of days, I believe, for the building that they're going to be putting up there. And as we come to this point, the reality is that for your groups that have been meeting at the lawn, there are all sorts of parks and outdoor spaces for you to be able to meet in. But, again, we live in the Northeast, so guess what's coming? Winter. And when winter gets here, it gets cold. Maybe you've heard that. I met someone earlier who was from California. They didn't know that. They were shocked. But I said, it's going to get real cold. And when it gets real cold, you're not going to be able to meet outside anymore. And last year when we walked through that, there were a couple things that happened. One, there were groups that said, okay, well, we're just going to transition to online because we don't feel comfortable meeting inside of homes or meeting inside of restaurants. I want to encourage you not to do that. I want to encourage you not to do that. Because what we found is when groups made that transition, they lost a lot of group members because they just weren't connecting in the same way. Or the other thing that happened was that groups moved into a home and several of the group members said, well, I'm just not comfortable doing that anymore. God has stepped into our lives and said, this is really, 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 really important. And so I'm going to challenge you as we move through this fall and as we move into the winter, prioritize this. And there are all sorts of places in your life where you've prioritized community and you're still connecting and you've made those people part of your quarantine group. I want to challenge you to make your dinner group part of that group. To make your dinner group part of that group. Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave his life. I love this passage that we looked at last week. It says, God sets the lonely in families. Psalm 68. God sets the lonely in families. Jesus gave his life to move us from loneliness into a family. But we have to prioritize it, invest in it. And I want to challenge you to prioritize this family. You are not good alone. And you need to be in community with others who are experiencing and pursuing Jesus. And I want to challenge you to make that a priority. As God has stepped into our lives, he has been actively attacking loneliness. He's been actively working for us to be able to leave that behind. And in a world that is phenomenally lonely, they need a community who stands up and says, no, this is what it looks like to actually experience the hope of community and the hope of being known by God and being known by one another. But in order for that to happen, we've got to get past the artificial barriers. We've got to say, no, I'm going to invest in this. If I'm investing in anything, I'm going to invest in this. I'm going to prioritize this. So that the world can see the truth of how God sets the lonely in families. It's unbelievable what he's done. It's unbelievable how he, as he steps into our lives, how he wants to lead us through this. Follow him. Follow him. Don't just hear him. Follow him. You can trust him. Follow him. His plan is way better than ours. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for all that you have taught us, all that you have demonstrated to us, that you don't just call us to invest in this, but you literally gave your son to be able to end loneliness. Father, I pray that today we would experience not just a shift in our mindset, but we would decide, no, I'm going to live this out. And whether it's being known by you, whether it's building those circles, whether it's changing our budget, we would decide, no, this is what matters. God has set the lonely in families. And family is what matters. In Jesus' name, amen.